If you would, please turn to Joshua chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4. We will begin there. And while you're turning there, I would quickly like to thank the elders for the opportunity to speak. I would ask you as the listeners, as Mr. Craig prayed, to turn your Bibles and follow along as we go through it. Joshua chapter 4. We'll start in verse 20. The Israelites have just, at this time, they have just crossed the Jordan. They're about to go in and attack Jericho. And it says, "And they took these 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. Then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, 'When your children ask their fathers in a time to come, saying, "What are these stones?" Then you shall tell your children, then you shall let your children know, saying, "Israel crossed this Jordan on dry land, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you, until you had crossed over it, the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us, and we crossed over. That the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord, that the Lord is mighty, and that you might fear the Lord your God forever." Tonight I'd like to talk about a phrase found in Joshua that says, "And you shall know the Lord." Ever since God created His people, He sought a people that, as He told the Israelites, I will be your God if you will be my people." And those people He wanted to follow Him and serve Him. The Lord has always wanted His people to know who He was. If you would turn to Exodus chapter 9. Exodus chapter 9. At this point, Israel is in bondage to Egypt. And in verse 13, it says there have already been 6 plagues on Egypt. In verse 13, it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go that they may serve me. For at this time I will send all my plagues to you, to every heart, and on your servants may know that I am the Lord, and that there is no God like me in all the earth. Now if I had stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, then you would have been cut off from the earth. But indeed for this purpose I have raised you up, that I might show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. And yet you exalt yourself against my people, in that you will not let them go." And in verse 14 it says, "That you may know that I am the Lord." Now turn to Exodus chapter 14. In Exodus chapter 14, the last plague has hit the Egyptians, and they have let the Israelites go. And so the Israelites get to the Red Sea, and then the Egyptians realize, wait, they're caught in between the Red Sea and us. They cannot get out. And so they decide to take them. And then it says, starting in verse 1, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, that they turn and camp before Phahara, between Migdad and the sea, opposite Bel Zephon, and you shall camp before it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are bewildered in the land, and the wilderness has closed them in. Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart, so that he will pursue them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and all his army, so that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord." And we know how the story goes. Pharaoh takes his army and chases him to the Red Sea. And then in verse 13 it says, "And the Egyptians are coming and the Israelites are trapped in between the Egyptians and the Red Sea. And Moses said to the people, 'Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more.'" And so the Israelites go across and the Egyptians follow them. And the Israelites get across, and then the water swallows up over the Egyptians. God let the Egyptians know that He was the Lord. And we also see a few chapters later, He also had to let Israel know that He was the Lord, even after they had seen the things that happened at the Red Sea. In Exodus chapter 16. In verse 1, it says, "And they journeyed from Elim, And all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had departed from the land of Egypt. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, "Oh, that we have died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, till we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them whether or not they walk in my law." And so, as we see, he sends him the food. And in verse 7, "And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, for he hears your complaints against the Lord. But what are we that you complain against us?" The Lord this time let the Israelites know that he was in charge and he was caring for them. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings 18. We see another example of the Lord letting the Israelites know that he was the Lord. And we'll start in verse 17. And previous to this, Elijah had prayed that it would not rain, so there is a famine on the land because it had not rained. In verse 17, "And then it happened, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, 'Is that you, O troubler of Israel?' And he answered, 'I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed the Baals. Now therefore, send and gather all Israel to me on Mount Carmel, 450 prophets of Baal, and the 400 prophets of Asherah, who eat at Jezebel's table.' So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, 'How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him.' But they answered him not a word. Then Elijah said unto the people, 'I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Therefore give us two bulls, and let us choose one bull for themselves, cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, but put no fire in it, and I will prepare the other bull, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under it. And then you shall call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, he is God.' And the people answered and said, 'It is well spoken.' Now Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, 'Choose one bull for yourselves to prepare it first, for you are many, and go call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it.' So they took the bull which was given them, and they prepared it, and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, 'O Baal, hear us.' But there was no voice, no one answered, and they leaped about the altar which they had made. And so it was at noon, Elijah mocked them and said, 'Cry aloud, for if he is a god, either he is meditating, or he is busy, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he is sleeping and must be awakened.' So they cried aloud and cut themselves, as was their custom, with knives and lances until the blood gushed out on them. And when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of morning, to the time of the evening sacrifice, but there was no voice, and no one answered, no one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, 'Come near me.' So all the people came near him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, 'Israel shall be your name.' Then with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around the altar, large enough to hold 2 seeds of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bull in pieces, and laid it on the wood, and he said, 'Fill your water pots with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice.' And then he said, 'Do it a second time,' and they did it. He said, 'Do it a third time,' and they did it a third time. So the water ran about the altar, and also filled the trench with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, 'Lord God of Abraham, of Israel, let it be known this day that you are the God of Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that these people may know that you are the Lord, and you have turned your hearts back, and they have turned their hearts back to you.' Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the altar, and licked up the water that was in the trench. Now when the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, 'The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God.'" These people, upon realizing the Lord, when he showed his power, realized that the Lord was God and that Baal was not. God let Israel know he was the Lord. In 1 Kings 20, God lets Ahab know that he is the Lord. Chapter 20, starting in verse 1. Now Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his forces together, 32 kings which were with him, the horses and chariots, and he went and besieged Samaria. And as the story goes, he sends messengers and says, I want you to give me the best of your wives, your children, your servants, basically the best of everything. And the king of Israel says, yes, okay, everything I have, that's good, I will send to you. And then the king says, no, my servants will come and take it. And then Ahab said in verse 9, tell my lord the king, all that you sent for the first time I will do, but this second thing I cannot do. And the messengers departed and brought back the word to him. Then Ben-Hadad sent to him and said, the gods do more to me, and more also, if there is enough dust in Samaria for a handful of each of the people who followed me. So Ben-Hadad has decided that he is going to absolutely destroy the city. And then, in verse 13, suddenly a prophet approached Ahab, king of Israel, saying, thus says the Lord, have you seen all this great multitude? Behold, I will deliver it into your hand today, that you may know I am the Lord. And with this army Ben-Hadad had, he had 32 kings with him, if you look back in verse 1. So Ahab was battling 32 kings of Syria. At first, this looks like it'd be ridiculous for Ahab to say, but with the Lord's help, and with the Lord showing that he is the Lord, Ahab is not worried. And then if you go down to verse 21, or verse 19, the Lord has told him that the young leaders of the city would be the ones that would make the attack. In verse 19, then the young leaders of the provinces went out of the city, and the army which followed them, and each one killed his man. So the Assyrians fled, and Israel pursued them, and Ben-Hadad, the king of Israel, escaped on his horse with the cavalry. Then the king of Israel went out and attacked the horses and chariots, and killed the Syrians with a great slaughter. And the prophet came to the king of Israel, go strengthen yourself, take note for what you should do, for in the spring the king of Syria will come up again. So the king of Syria decides that he'll attack Israel again, because in verse 23 it says, and the servants of the king of Syria said to him, their gods are the gods of the hills, therefore they are stronger than we. But if we fight in the plain, we will surely be stronger. So Ben-Hadad has not gotten yet who the Lord is. So the Lord is still going to show him. And in verse 28, so when Ben-Hadad comes to attack again, the man of God came and spoke to the king of Israel and said, thus says the Lord, because the Assyrians have said, the Lord is God of the hills, but he is not Lord of the valleys, I will deliver this great multitude into your hand, and that you shall know that I am the Lord. The Lord was going to let Ahab realize who the Lord was, and he was also going to work his wonders on Ben-Hadad of Syria. And if you look in verse 29, it says, and then they camped opposite for each other for 7 days. So it was that on the seventh day the battle was joined, and the children of Israel killed 100,000 foot soldiers of the Syrians in 1 day. But the rest fled to Aphek into the city, and a wall fell on 27,000 of the men who were left. And Ben-Hadad fled and went into the city in an inner chamber. The Lord let King Ahab know that he was the Lord. And in Isaiah chapter 36, we read of another instance where the Lord shows that he wants his people to know him. Isaiah chapter 36. In this instance, King Sennacherib comes up against Israel. And he sends a general, the Rabshakeh, to say to the king. And then in verse 5 through 10, he starts talking to Hezekiah, he starts talking to the people on the wall. He's like, who are you going to trust in? Egypt is a broken reed. You can't lean on Egypt. We've already destroyed Egypt. And then so the people on the wall ask him, he was speaking in a language we all could understand. So he's like, don't speak in this language, but speak to your servants in Aramaic, for we understand it. But the people on the wall did not. He didn't want the people. So the Rabshakeh is like, I'm not only talking to you. I'm talking to everyone on the wall. Everyone is involved in this. And so he starts talking in verse 13. And this is to everyone on the wall included. Then the Rabshakeh stood and called out with a loud voice, "Hear the words of the great king of Syria. Thus says the Lord, do not let Hezekiah deceive you, for he will not be able to deliver you. Nor let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us. The city is not to be given into the hand of the king of Syria. Do not listen to Hezekiah, for thus says the king of Assyria, make peace with me by a present, and come out with me, and everyone of you eat his own vine, and everyone from his own fig tree, and everyone from own drink from the waters of his own cistern, until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of grain and new wine, a land of bread and vineyards. Beware lest Hezekiah persuade you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Has any one of the gods of the nations delivered you from the hand of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim? Yet indeed, they have yet delivered Samaria from my hand. Who among the gods of these lands has delivered their countries from my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem from my hand? But then they held their peace and answered him not a word, for the king's commandment was do not answer him. So the Rabshakeh is going on his previous track record, if you would. He's defeated Egypt, he's defeated all these nations, and he thinks just because he's defeated all these other nations, there is not a God that he cannot defeat. And then starting chapter 37, verse 1. And so it was when King Hezekiah saw it that he tore his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went to the house of the Lord. And then he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, with the elders of the priests, and covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz. And they said unto him, thus says Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and rebuke and blasphemy. For the children have come to birth, but there is no strength to bring them forth. It may be that the Lord your God will hear the words of the Rabshakeh, whom the master of Assyria has sent to reproach the living God, and will rebuke the words which the Lord your God has heard. Therefore lift up your ear, prayer, for the remnant that is left. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. And Isaiah said unto them, thus you shall say to your master, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid of the words which you have heard, or which the servants of the king have Assyria for blasphemed him. Surely I will send a rumor upon him, and he will hear a rumor, and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by sword in his own land. The Lord was going to let King Sennacherib know that he was the Lord. And then in verse 8, Sennacherib decides he hasn't had enough of Israel, so he decides he's going to come back after he returns for the rumor. Then the Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libnah, for he had heard that he had departed into the Lachish. And the king heard concerning Tirzah, the king of Ethiopia. He has come out to make war with you. So then he sent messengers to Hezekiah, saying, thus you shall speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah. Do not let your God in whom you trust deceive you, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given to the hand of the king of Assyria. Look, you have heard what the kings of Assyria had done to the lands by utterly destroying them. And shall you yet be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered those whom my fathers have destroyed? Gozan and Hera and Rezeph, the gods of Eden who were in Telazar? Where is the king of Hamath, the king of Arphad, the king of the Seraphim, Hena, Iva? And Hezekiah received a letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And the Lord went up, and Hezekiah went up to before the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Then Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, saying, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubims, you are God, you alone, all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made the heavens and the earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open our eyes, O Lord, and see all the words of which Sennacherib has sent to reproach the living God. Truly, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations in their lands and have cast their gods into the fire. But they were not gods, the work of men's hands and stone. Therefore they destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord our God, save us from this land, that the kingdom of all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord, you alone. In Hezekiah's prayer, he asked that the Lord would show the people who was the Lord, and that he realized that all the other nations' gods were not gods. They were just works of men's hands. And then we see God's response. In verse 36, Then the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. When the people arose in the morning, there were the corpses all dead. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went away, returned home, and remained at Nineveh. And while it came to pass, while he was worshipping in the house of Nisroch, his god, that his sons, Amardalek and Sherezar, struck him down with the sword. So they escaped into the land of Argath. And Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his place. When he attacked Israel, he met the one true God. And the one true God eventually ended up destroying him. Likewise, as the Lord wanted the people of old to know who he was, the Lord wants us to know who he is as creator. In Genesis 1:1 it says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." Many people nowadays do not want us to believe that God created the heavens and the earth. They want us to believe that it was a bunch of reactions that formed. But it was God that created the earth. And if you turn to Revelation chapter 4. And this is a throne scene. And then in verse 11, and then the 24 elders are casting down and bowing before the throne, and they're saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and for your will they exist and were created." The Lord wants us to know who he is as creator. He also wants us to know that he is ruler of the nations. Turn to Job chapter 12. Job chapter 12. This is starting in verse 13. Zophar, at this time, Zophar has just accused Job of, he's urging Job to repent. "You must have done something wrong." And then Job is answering, and in verse 13, he's talking about God. "With him are wisdom and strength. He has counsel and understanding. If he breaks a thing down, it cannot be rebuilt. If he imprisons a man, there can be no release." And skip down to verse 23. "He makes the nations great and destroys them. He enlarges nations and guides them." The God who let Israel know, the God who let King Ahab know, this God is a ruler of the nations. Turn to Psalms chapter 22. Psalms chapter 22. "For the kingdom is the Lord, and he rules over all the nations." The God we serve wants us to know that he is the ruler of the nations. He also wants us to know that he is the only God. Turn to Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 18. "For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who established it, who did not create it in vain, and who formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is no other." This Lord that we serve is the only true and living God. And turn to Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 10. "But the Lord is the true God. And he is the living God and the everlasting King. At his wrath the earth will tremble, and the nations will not be able to endure his indignation." The God that the Rabshakeh thought was just like every other god which he had attacked, the gods of Egypt, the gods of all the other places he had defeated. But he learned to know that the Lord was the one and true living God. God wants us to know who he is as the only God. God also wants us to know that he is the giver of forgiveness. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 12. In this little section here, he's talking about the preeminence of Christ and the in whom statements. And it starts in verse 12. "Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of His Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. This Lord that we serve was the one that had the plan. The plan from the beginning that He would send His Son would die, but then His Son would be raised, and through Him we would have forgiveness. And then, the God we serve also wants us to know that He is the judge of all. Turn to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. Starting at verse 10. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess. And so then each of us shall give an account to himself, to God. God is the one that will eventually judge us. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5. And in verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good and bad. So this Lord is going to be, he wants us to know that he will be the judge of all. But once we realize he's creator, ruler of the nations, the only God, the giver of forgiveness, and the judge of all, we will realize that his word will not return void. Turn to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55, starting in verse 11. So shall my word that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing that I have sent it. God's word does not return void. It will prosper in the thing that he sent it. Once we realize who he is, we will realize his word will not pass away. Turn to Matthew chapter 24. In verse 35, Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. And then in 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 23. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. The word of the Lord is not like just about everything else, that eventually after time it will wear away, and then there will eventually be nothing left of it. The word of God will not pass away. And once we also realize who he is, we will realize we are not to edit his word. Turn to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22, starting in verse 18. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of the prophecy, God will take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Once we realize that we serve the one and only God, we will realize we are not to edit his word. Once we realize who he is, we will also realize his word is to be obeyed. Turn to Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10. This is the story of Nadab and Abihu. Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took a censer and put fire on it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. So right away we see that they did as the Lord had not commanded. And then we see in verse 2, So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses spake to Aaron, This is what the Lord spoke, saying, By those who come near me I must be regarded as holy, and before all the people I must be glorified. We see from this, the word of the Lord is to be revered, and it also is to be obeyed. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 6. Starting in verse 1. Again, David gathered all the choice men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people who were with him from Baal Judah to bring up there the ark of God, whose name is called by the name, the Lord of hosts, who dwells in between the cherubim. So they set the ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which is on the hill, accompanying the ark of the Lord. And Ahio went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord on all kinds of instruments of fir wood, on harps, on stringed instruments, on tambourines, on sistrums, and on cymbals. And when they had come to Nacon's fleshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error, and he died there by the ark of God. Previously, God had told them to carry it on poles, and as a result of Uzzah touching it, he died because he had not done what the Lord had commanded. Once we realize who he is, we will realize his word is not to be questioned. Turn to Joshua chapter 6. This is the story of the taking of Jericho. And normally when you take a city, God's command here was not normally the way you would take a city. He tells them to march around the city once per day for the first 6 days, and on the seventh day to march around it seven times. And a part of that was not to make noise. And so the Israelites may have wondered, why did he tell us to do this? This is not how you normally take a city. And then in verse 10, we'll start. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, "You shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day that I say unto you, Shout, then you shall shout." So he had the ark of the Lord circle the city, going around it once, and then they came to the camp and lodged in the camp. And then we'll skip down to verse 16. And the seventh time it happened, when the priests blew the trumpets, that Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city." The Lord gave them the city because they followed his commands, although it may not have been what they were expecting. Once we realize God's greatness, we will also realize that his word will judge us. Turn to John chapter 12. "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The words which I have spoken, the same will judge him in the last day." The Lord that wanted the Israelites to know who he was, the Lord that wanted the Egyptians to know who he was, the Lord who wants everyone to know who he was, his word will eventually judge us. And in conclusion, God has given us enough evidence. Turn to Romans chapter 1. Starting in verse 18. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of his world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even that his eternal power and Godhead, so that without excuse." We are without excuse for not knowing the Lord. This Lord has given us a plan by which all might be saved. If you hear Romans 10:17, "For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." If you believe, Mark 16, verse 15 and 16, or verse 16, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." You must confess, Romans 10, 8 through 10. But what does it say? "The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart by which the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in Him, and believe in your heart that God has raised Him up from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You must also be baptized. Acts chapter 2, and verse 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then once you have done that, you must be faithful. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, in verse 10. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and that you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. One day we will meet this God, the God that wanted the Egyptians to know who He was, the God that wanted the Israelites to know who He was, the God that wanted Ahab to know who He was, the God that wants all people to know who He was, and most of all, the God that wants you to know who He was. Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of him shall give an account of himself to God. We will each give an account of ourselves to God. And the question tonight is, do you know the Lord? Do I know the Lord? And we also see that ignorance is not an excuse. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 17, excuse me. Acts chapter 17, verse 30. Paul is on Mars Hill preaching to the Athenians about the idol to the unknown God. And in verse 30 it says, truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands men everywhere to repent, because He has appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He hath ordained. He hath given assurance of this by raising him from the dead. Will we know the Lord on the judgment day? And Hebrews 10 and verse 30 and 31 says, for we know him who says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, and again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. This living God is the one, the hands that the king of Assyria fell into, that absolutely destroyed him. Where will you be when God decides to judge you? Will you know the Lord? If there is any way we can help you tonight, please come forward as we stand and sing.